Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We were dog people when I was a little boy growing up. We always had a dog, usually bigger dogs. But one time I remember my dad brought home a little terrier, kind of a mutt of a thing, really some, I don't know, Jack Russell mixed in with about 42 other things. And a couple of weeks into Skipper's life with us, he found a rabbit nest somewhere behind our garage. We were sitting on our screened-in porch in the evening when little feisty Skipper came bounding in with this bloody mess of a chewed-up bunny and dropped it right at my mom's feet. She sprang up from her chair and yelled with bolts of lightning coming from her eyes. "Just look at what that dog dragged in here." To make matters worse than they already were, I distinctly remember my dad chuckling as he leaned over and patted Skipper's head. "Good boy," he said. "Good boy, Skipper." My mom was out of there, and I distinctly recall her not talking to him for some days. "Just look at what that dog dragged in here." Well, you know, the people around Jesus had to wonder the same thing, though they were far from getting any chuckle out of it. I mean, Jesus showed up for lunch one Sabbath day at the home of a prominent Pharisee. During the course of the meal, he kept dropping something at their feet, and they were shocked. It was all unexpected, so much so that it unsettled everything they thought that they had nailed down about Almighty God and the way God does things. Jesus set the ball rolling by doing something not allowed in their view of the law. A guy was at this same place, and he was sick, says St. Luke. There, you heard it. He was a man suffering from dropsy. Now, the word suffering ought to get our attention, kindle our compassion. If you've ever had some serious pain or illness or a loss or fear in your life, you know something about suffering. But you know, at the same time, we all have a tendency to avert our eyes from the suffering of other people around us, to look away, pretend not to notice. Not Jesus, never. Never does he look away or pretend not to notice. Wherever there's human suffering, there's a wide open door for Jesus. He came, in fact, to deal head on with suffering. In fact, to aim his very life at what was causing all human suffering. That is, you know, it is our sin, our rebellion from God, our wanting to have life on our own terms. And wow, what a mess we have made. Our sin, mine and yours, it's opened the door to all kinds of suffering. Pain and weakness and fear and hurt and divorce and shootings. And Jesus has come for suffering people, taking our suffering and then some into himself, his body and soul, suffering for us in our place. So here it was at the home of a prominent religious leader that Jesus took notice of the guy suffering from this illness. He didn't look the other way and pretend not to notice. Instead, he posed this question to the religious experts about the lawfulness, the rightness and wrongness of healing on the Sabbath day. And all the guests in the home of this prominent Pharisee were thinking, "Just look at what the dog dragged in. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" asked Jesus. Huh? when would it not be lawful to heal, to help someone suffering? And yet their brand of law looked at things only through self-centered eyes. When you see things around you only through your own human vision, you're not seeing clearly and you're not getting the picture. But when you see things through the eyes of Jesus, he healed the guy and they were silent. Nobody at the prim and proper dinner party had an answer to the lawful question. You could have sliced the embarrassment and shame and anger in that Pharisee's house with a knife. It was so thick. But Jesus wasn't done. Because he noticed how the guest picked places of honor at the table. Elbowing, jostling, out of my way. One thinking he or she's better than the other. And another one believing he deserved better. Somebody else sure that those people shouldn't be here. After all, who do they think they are? It's then that we get these two party parables of Jesus, two little earthy stories that shoot down any notion we might have about heaven being a bunch of wide-eyed cherubs like those of Precious Moments fame. Sorry. Heaven will reflect God's way of seeing things and doing things. It will be people eating and drinking and whooping it up in the presence of Almighty God, celebrating the gifts of His eternal goodness and grace. And just look at who these people are. It's kind of like, look at what the dog dragged in. They are the very ones who'd never get first place, don't deserve first place. In fact, they don't deserve any place, not leastways in the kingdom of God. These are the ones who take no places of honor because in the strictly human lawful way of seeing things and doing things, they deserve no honor. These are the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. These people are broke. Broken by their sin and a life rebellion that has left them empty. These are the folks who have nothing to offer, nothing to trade or barter with, no way to pay back the one who invited them to the party in the first place. Says Jesus, who sees things always through the eyes of God. The exalted will be humbled, the humble will be exalted. The person hunched over, way in the back, broken in shame and guilt and fear and suffering, will be the one invited to take the seat of honor, and the one who thought that he or she deserved a place up front. Ooh, that's embarrassing. They have to get up and move back. Way back. Just look at what that dog dragged in. You gotta wonder. But then, isn't this God's way of doing things? Wasn't the exalted one humbled for us and for our salvation? Isn't it true that the eternal Son of God did not consider equality with his Father something to be grasped, but gave up his own honor, his own glory, buried his divinity deeply in the flesh and blood of our humanity, and humbled himself by becoming obedient to his Father's will and way? In Jesus Christ, the exalted Lord of all creation, rolled up his sleeves and became a foot-washing, cross-bearing servant of all, obedient even unto death on the cross. On the cross, Jesus died. He died for all. He died for the worst. He died, oh, you know the hymn, chief of sinners though I be. But hear this. He died for you. The exalted are humbled. But the Father exalted this dead Jesus. He approved of his work. He raised him from the dead and proclaimed him victor over sin and death and hell itself. The Father enthroned his Son at the right hand of his majesty to lord his saving death and resurrection over the whole world for which he died. The humbled are exalted. That's the way it is for God's kingdom. His way of seeing things and doing things. We will all, brothers and sisters, we will all be humbled. That is indeed what God's law does in demanding absolute holiness from us. The Ten Commandments expose our total inability to save ourselves from the mess we've made. Those commandments will not let a single one of us push and bully our way to the front to demand honor from God on the terms of our own life and our own doing. And finally, God's law turns us back to the dust from which we were made. It drives us to the grave. The exalted are humbled. There is nothing more humbling than the grave. It's the same for all. All sin, all die. The wages of sin is death, says the Scripture. No one will miss that paycheck. In the grave, we take our place alongside the least, the lost, the lowly, the dead and despised. God puts the sinner in his place so that he might call the saint to a better place. And what a day it'll be when Jesus appears in glory and calls us from our graves to join the feast of the least. When he says to you, hey friend, move up to a higher place. Just look at who Jesus drags in. Here today, the Lord gives us a practice run at the feast for the least as he gathers us together and feeds us. He invites us to his table. And those he invites cannot repay him. You don't deserve an invitation, much less a place of honor. He invites those who are broken, who see the choices they have made in life and so often are ashamed. Ashamed at their self-centeredness, their meanness. Their idolatry. To his table, Jesus today invites the worst, the chief of sinners, the ones who in their shame and guilt cannot even lift up their eyes to heaven. To his table today, Jesus invites you. The body and blood with which he feeds you today bore your sins and carried your sorrows and your suffering. The body and blood with which he feeds you today nourishes you for the days to come and the grave to come. body and blood with which he feeds you again today, give you what you absolutely cannot earn, what you do not deserve in the least, what you could never ever begin to repay. Today's banquet feast is for broken, repentant beggars, prodigal sons and daughters who've come back home mourning their sin and their brokenness. Today's banquet feast is for you. Just look at who Jesus is inviting. In the name of Jesus, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.